Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show, it's Florida State Week. Oh, thank God. We thought we were getting this about 3 weeks ago. Game rescheduled finally this Saturday. Miami Hurricanes and Florida State Seminoles. So it is time for the Canes Insight Report brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit caneswear.com. This is the owner of canesinsight.com, outthehuddle.com, Peter Ariz, joining us now. Pete, how are you this evening?
Doing well, Alex. Like you said, fired up. It's FSU week. Canes coming off a very solid performance last Friday night against Duke, and I think they have things humming going into this game.
Well, and let me ask you first, if we have anything on the injury status, Mark Walton re-aggravated that ankle. You think he's going to be good to go this Saturday?
Well, look, I mean, when it comes to an ankle injury, you never know if someone's going to be 100%, but the expectation right now is that Mark Walton, of course, will be able to go. And once that adrenaline gets pumping and all of that, I don't think it's really going to be an issue. I know people inside right now are not really concerned about that being an issue or limiting him in any way next Saturday, this game coming up. But, look, the bottom line is in a game this big, your star player, he's going to be ready to go. I think Mark Walton has shown this year, even in that Toledo game where he did kind of rough up the ankle a little bit, he came back and, he was ready to play. So I think he'll be fine this week.
You know, we got our first look in 2017 of Amon Richards in the Duke game, and he didn't even look 100% to me, Peter, yet he still caught three passes for 106 yards, a long touchdown, had another long touchdown called back for a penalty. Like, he looks like he's very close to midseason form, and it reminded me of how much I missed Amon Richards.
He, right now, Alex, looks like not only an NFL receiver, but, I tweeted this out during the game. He looks like a first-round pick down the line, of course, only a sophomore, so he still has to play at Miami for at least another year. But when you're looking at the type of performance he had the other night, like you said, he didn't even look like he was running 100%, but he was still making the Duke defensive backs look silly. So if he's able to do that, because that's the thing, he's a complete wide receiver. He can run all the routes in the tree. You saw him, toe-tapping on the sideline a couple times, and then you can see what he can do, with the ball in his hands after the catch, and those are three things that NFL scouts look at very closely, especially when they're projecting you at the next level. But really what he brings, and Miami's offense was solid the first 2 weeks, and I still think there's going to be a lot for them to continue to work on. Became a little bit stagnant in the middle of that Duke game, but Richards adds just that he's your go-to guy, bottom line. He is your, other than, of course, Mark Walton, but I'm talking about the receiving core, he's the complete wide receiver. You look at the rest of the guys, and everyone brings something different to the table. You're seeing what Braxton Berrios can do in the slot this year. Lawrence Cager is a really good big body target on the outside, and he moves like a little guy as well. You saw him on a couple slant patterns last week, and he was very successful there. But Richards is the total package. I think he will have a big game this weekend.
And, Peter, a little more on the Canes offense. You talked about going stagnant. I mean, if somebody were to only watch the first quarter and the fourth quarter of that Duke game, you would think Miami is just an offensive juggernaut, unstoppable. But second and third quarter, struggling to move the ball, couldn't really get any first downs. It was tough to watch in the second and third quarter. So we are seeing bright flashes at times, inconsistency at other times. What do you think are the issues that can hold these guys back?
Well, look, I think it's a combination of things. Number one, Coach Rick seemed to go away from the run game a little bit in the middle of that game. I don't know if that was because Walton, just wasn't 100% or he was right in the hot hand of Malik, who started the game so well. But I think a little bit, too, is that, look, Malik Rozier has been great for this team this year, the way that he's able to add that mobile element He is able to vertically stretch the field with his arm that we saw, especially in that Duke game. And he's making the reads quickly. But, again, the one thing that continues to be the issue is the inaccuracy and inconsistencies at times. Again, he's been very, very good. When he's on, when he started that Duke game last week, I mean, if you can get a full four quarters of that against Duke, against Florida State, I think there's no doubt Miami wins this game. But he's got to be on point four quarters, because this is a Florida State defense, and I'm sure we're going to get into Florida State a little bit now, but this is still an elite defense. I don't care that they've lost two games. It's a defense with athletes all over. And one mistake, for example, that overthrow against Toledo that Malik Rozier had, that might be a pick six with the athletes that Florida State has on the other side of the ball. So those are the things that are going to swing the game in either direction for Miami or Florida State.
Peter, it's a weird situation given the last 7 years of Miami versus Florida State football, and I know anything can happen in the game itself, but heading into this game, Miami a favorite on the road in Tallahassee. Miami is ranked. Florida State is not. Feels a little bit like we're living in another universe. But and you mentioned Florida State's defense still being very good, but Miami's defense, should they be able to dominate Florida State's offense given the issues they're having moving the football and a freshman quarterback?
Oh, definitely. See, the thing is here, Alex, I am not so locked in on the fact that it's a freshman quarterback. I know that will probably play a factor at some point of this game, but what I'm looking at when it comes to the matchups here is Florida State's offensive line versus Miami's front seven, who, if Miami's front seven can play how they did, especially in that second half against Duke, providing pressure, this is not a very good Florida State offensive line, to put it kindly. I mean, they got Francois hurt, and, you know, in the last couple games, I don't know if you had a chance to see that Wake Forest game, but
yeah, I did.
The Demon Deacons were living in the backfield, and this is a much more athletic defense they'll be facing this week. I still think one of the best defensive lines in the country, even if they didn't play maybe as well as they could have the first two games. But I think what we saw in the Duke game is going to be a lot more of what we'll see in the rest of the season. So that's the matchup I'm really looking at. On the other side of the ball, I'm going to say the same thing for Florida State's defensive line. I think if there's still a group that has not necessarily been tested for real, it's that offensive line for Miami. You know, Malik Rozier did see some pressure at times last game against a Duke front that was doing a lot of different things, a lot of stunts, some odd fronts and whatnot. And they're only going to see that times three, times four, times five against Florida State with, again, much better athletes on that side of the ball. So, to me, look, the biggest issue with Miami over the last 4 or 5 years, other than the Al Golden and Mark D'Onofrio coaching era at Miami, has been the elite guys and domination in the trenches. You saw the last few years against Florida State. Florida State kind of just wore Miami down in the trenches because the Canes were in the game the last 3 years. But I think this is finally the year where Miami has the guys to match up with them up front on both sides of the football, really.
Yeah, you talked about Wake Forest getting in the backfield. It was Wake Forest looked pretty good in that game, Peter. I had a hard time believing that they were winless coming into that Florida State matchup. So is that another sign if Florida State, and again, I know anything can happen in a rivalry game, but if they had that much trouble to put away a winless team, what does that say about where FSU football is right now?
Well, I think that's actually probably more of the reason that the Canes are favored in this one, not so much as the two losses, because I think anyone can excuse that first loss they had against an Alabama team that, you know, if you watch that game, it was probably a bit closer than the score indicated. Florida State had some blunders on special teams in that ball game that, you know, Alabama was able to convert into some points. But for the most part, Florida State went toe-to-toe physically with Alabama for three and a half quarters, defensively at least. I mean, they had the athletes to match up with them. So, and then the North Carolina State game the next week, that's a very strong front four, an NFL-type defensive line where all those guys will be in the league over the next couple years. So I think the Florida State one was probably the one that opened up people's eyes and said, you know, if you play, even if you play a disciplined ball game on both sides of the football, you take care of the ball, you have a chance to beat this team. And again, I think this is the year. I feel like we've said it for 7 years now, 8 years now. I think this is a year though that I think these guys kind of finally realize, you know, what this one means, especially the freshman group from last year, because they're kind of the group that you expect to lead this team into the next stratosphere, right? And they didn't have the experience last year. They have that. They still, I guarantee you, have a bad taste in their mouth, whether they want to admit it or not. You're probably not going to hear them say anything about it this week in the media sessions. But these are the guys that I think are wired to be the ones to lead Miami up there in Tallahassee and get the win.
I love to hear that. And Peter, going back to the Duke game for Miami, it was obviously the most complete performance from their defense. They didn't give up a touchdown against a pretty good Duke Blue Devils team and one of the best coached offenses in the country under Coach Cutcliffe, and the Canes' defense stood strong, but they did a lot of that with the front seven, 11 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks. Michael Pinckney, the linebacker, played out of his mind in the game. But did you see noted improvement on the secondary? A secondary specifically, you know, Dee Delaney, who was picked on a lot in the first couple of games. Do you feel like Miami's defensive secondary is ready for Florida State?
Most definitely. I mean, I think that I was happy to see Dee Delaney's performance, because I know from talking to some people inside the building, they said they knew he was a lot better than what he showed in the first two games. So that was a big game for his confidence, really. The Duke game was a game that showed him, you know, look, those first two games may have been a little bit of an adjustment, of course, coming from the FCS level. Not, you know, Bethune-Cookman, not to say that was great competition. But I think, look, he was himself seeing some of the things fans were saying and whatnot, so he knew it was time to step it up. So that was a much improved performance from him. Malik Young did a great job on TJ Roming, Duke's top receiver. A couple times he could have gotten his head turned around and maybe made a play on the ball. That's something you want to see him continue to take the next step and do. But his recovery speed is such a weapon for him at times, because even if he's beat, he's able to make that up pretty quickly, and he finishes very well. Sheldrick Redwine, I think, from the strong safety position, had a very solid performance, had 7 tackles in the game, and he was a very, very sure tackler, which you need at that position, especially the way that Manny Diaz uses those guys. But like you said, the front seven, I mean, what they were able to do throughout that ball game and how they finished that game, third, fourth quarter, that is what is going to drive not only this defense but this team. I think that is the group that is going to be able to create turnovers. You know, you're going to be able to get points off those turnovers, and that's the group that's going to energize this team throughout the year. But, man, the season starts this week, Alex. Yep. I mean, it really, really does, because if you can get this win, you're setting yourself up very, very nicely down the line.
Do you have a prediction, Pete? We've talked a little bit about your gut feelings on the game, but do you have a sense for how it could play out?
Well, right now I have the Canes. I have the Canes winning it. I have them winning. Let's see. You know how this goes, Alex. Score prediction could change. I may tweet out something different on the Saturday morning of the game. But right now I have it at 27-23 Miami.
Sorry, so it's not going to come down to a missed field goal then if you've got it by 4 points?
Well, yeah, I mean, what we saw last year, everyone knows the history of this game, but what we saw last year with the missed extra point, I think anything is in the air when it comes to the kicking game in these two teams, that's for sure.
Oh, man. And last thing here, Mark Richt spoke this morning on the Joe Rose Show on this radio station, and he really praised Malik Rozier, his toughness under pressure, his toughness in taking the hits. You know, I especially look at the Braxton Berrios touchdown from this past week, the 27-yarder, where he hung in the pocket and took a big hit as he was releasing a perfect throw into the end zone. maybe, I think, Peter, that's probably my biggest pleasant surprise on Malik so far this year has been not only his arm strength, as we knew about that a little bit, but the fact that he's making some solid throws under pressure. He's not getting rattled very easily. That might be my biggest plus on him. Is there anything that he's really surprised you with so far this year?
Well, I'll go with that, number one. But the other thing, and I think it's going to be a key this week, because I do think that Florida State's defensive line is going to be able to get pressure, you know, even with just four guys at times. But it's going to be for me, you know, him tucking and running with the football. He's extended a bunch of drives this season because he does have his feet at his disposal. If nothing is there, and I did hear, you know, Coach Rick talked about that this morning as well with Joe Rose, is he said, look, when they're in man and everyone's matched up with someone, I mean, you take off with it as soon as you make that decision, because there's a lot of space downfield. There's a lot of green for you to run to when you are able to make that decision quickly. Things are going to speed up this week for sure, just because this is a Florida State team. And this is what I keep telling people. I'm a big believer in, and I know a lot of people say stars don't matter in recruiting and all that, but I know that Florida State has recruited extremely well at an elite level for the past, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. As we know that Florida State's had their run, they still have those guys on the roster. They still have a ton of guys on that defensive side of the football that can really make a difference on the offense side too. But Malik is going to have to continue to play well. I mean, that's I think really what it's going to come down to. He's going to take care of the football this week, and again, when pressure comes, if he's able to, you know, not take a sack or throw it away, you tuck it and you get as many yards as you can, because I think this Florida State defense is going to be aggressive.
This man does excellent work. Peter Ariz, CanesInsight.com and OutTheHuddle.com. It's the Canes Insight Report brought to you by Caneswear at Miami Fanwear. That is the spot where Miami fans shop. Visit Caneswear.com. And Pete, I've got to get back up to Caneswear to get one of those turnover chain T-shirts. The turnover chain, it's the sensation sweeping the nation right now, Pete. And they've got all the jerseys and hats and the swag there as well. What's happening at Caneswear this week?
They got it all there at Caneswear, all the new Adidas stuff, as we always say. And look, I know a lot of you Canes fans are going to be going up there to the game in Tallahassee. And if you're down south and you've never, you know, made the trip up to Caneswear, you might as well make it a pit stop on your way up there before watching the Canes go up to Tallahassee and get that win.
Love it. Peter Ariz, thank you so much, man. Follow him on Twitter at Peter Ariz. You have an excellent evening, my friend.
You have a great one, Alex.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.